May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. This morning I had the real joy, deep joy, of joining the Godly Play class for a few minutes on their Zoom meeting. It's the first time I've seen nearly all of those children in months. And the reason for my presence was that, and you may have read this in the postings, is that the children of their own volition several weeks ago noticed that some of their friends, some of their family were sad and lonely. They noticed what was happening in another person's life. And as a community, as a micro church, they decided to do something. And out of their creativity, they decided to create these butterflies, these beautiful works of art, to send to people to give them comfort and to, as a sign that they are known and they are loved and they are cared for, and you are not alone in this world. No one is. And we need reminders of that truth. And I was asked to pop into the meeting and talk with the children and bless the butterflies, and I did that. And the only reason I'm probably telling the story is because, as we all know, not only is there something truly beautiful and magical about butterflies, but that they go through a metamorphosis. They don't start out beautiful. They start out grubby and wormy and sometimes hairy with little spikes. And something happens at some point in their life and they are transformed. In today's letter, as we hear it, it's the letter to the Romans, but you might not realize it's not the letter to the Romans, the people of Rome. It's Paul's message to the Christians who live in the capital of the Roman Empire, who don't have big grand buildings like this. They're meeting in each other's homes. They are young, fragile churches, assemblies of people who have heard the message somewhere. As far as we know, Paul did not plant the church in Rome, what became the churches of Rome, but he wrote to them near the end of his life. And in the letter today to the Christians in the house churches in Rome, these two sentences that open today's epistle are the linchpin, the restatement, the first half to the second half of his letter, and they restate what it's all about. Therefore, everything that went before that Paul has talked about, therefore, here's what I'm asking you to be and do. By God's compassion, what we call mercies, but translated also by God's compassion, not by your goodness or your doing or your works, but by God's love and compassion, you are able to do this, to present yourselves, your bodies, meaning your whole life, as a living sacrifice to God. So you have to realize that in the Roman Empire, there was lots of religion. There was very little Christianity. There was no such thing as, was it called Christianity? There were lots of religions and lots of gods, and Roman religion was, it wasn't a separate thing woven into the life of the culture. It was one piece. And the highest sacrifice you could give to any god was a sacrifice of a living thing that was killed and offered. So what Paul is telling these Christians is something radical and new and different. To offer not a life ended, but a life begun. A life made new, a life made alive, and a life made different by the power of the Holy Spirit through the life of Christ risen. And then the second sentence. If you're going to live a life that you're going to present to God, then do not be conformed to this age, is the other translation, to this world, to this age, to this Roman Empire. Instead, be transformed in the renewing of your minds. And the Greek word for transformed, like for the butterfly, is metamorphosis. You Christians who are learning to be Christ-like must go through a metamorphosis and be utterly changed. And this is one of my favorite parts of the letter. Why? Why should I be changed? To what end? What for? And Paul says, so that, it's my favorite question, so that you and I can discern, using our minds, what is the will of God. Now that may sound audacious. How do you go about discerning what is good and what is acceptable and perfect to God? And if you were in another religion, you'd have a different answer. But for me, for a priest of the Christian church, I look to Jesus. Or rather, more accurately, Jesus looks at me and asks, John, but who do you say that I am? I don't care what the rest of the world says. Who do you know me to be? And the I am is a reference to the great I am, who shared his mysterious name with Moses. What is your name so that I can tell these Hebrews who you are? He says, I am that I am. I will be what I will be. And what we know about the great I am, who God is what we know most of all through the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ, which lasted, remember, for somewhere between 1 and 3 years. This life that went about healing and being with the people who were worthless, the people who were stigmatized, the people who were sick, the people who were pushed to the margins. That's the God. That's the God that we are to renew our mind through so that we can discern in our day, in our age, what is good, what is acceptable. Our patron saint, St. Paul, he's often thought of as the first and the great church planter. But I guarantee you, if you got in a time machine and went back and asked St. Paul, before he was St. Paul, Paul, what are you doing? His mission would not be to plant churches. Paul lived his life after his metamorphosis, after being changed from one who was a defender, a militant, violent defender of order. And he had a metamorphosis and he was utterly changed. He became a zealot for what he learned through his experience with the Christ. And what he spent the rest of his life doing was planting the message. and where the message was planted and where it was received and where it was believed, people gathered. Because the message of God is that you are a beloved child of God, and you are a beloved child of God. And George, you are a beloved child of God. Every single one of us is beloved. And the way that the world has ordered things is not the will of God. And it is time for a renewal. It is time for a change and a metamorphosis. And yes, it will be frightening. But it's time for the Holy Spirit to be unleashed, to bless and to heal, to connect and to notice, and to let go of the structures, to let go of the structures that are strangling God's creation, so that we can all begin to flourish. We're on this path, a journey, an unfolding of time through space, on earth, and it is not a simple open close fairy tale. It is complicated and it is hard, and we are experiencing things that no one obviously has experienced in our lifetimes, many generations. But mind you this, Christians have experienced things as difficult, as unsettling, as earth, as culture remaking, is what we are experiencing. And through it, they held to their faith. They held to their call to love one another and to love their neighbor, to love God, to use their mind, to use what they have to discern what is good, what is acceptable in this time. It's big work. It's big work. And I'm just so pleased that our children have figured it out. That they know what it looks like when someone is hurting, and they know that it's their calling to reach out and to give what they can to heal, to hold, to connect, to be God's children, hopefully forever and ever. So I leave you with this question that I reflected on earlier this week with some friends in the church. Because until each one of us answers the question and conforms our life to it, I don't know what we're doing. Jesus looks at you the way Jesus looks at me and asks, "But who do you say that I am? Who do you know me to be? And now conform your life to me. Conform your life to what you know me to be." Amen. Amen.